This is a Haunted Attraction Network production. Achieve more with all our products at www.hauntedattractionnetwork.com.
Haunts are an asset to their communities. We've come across so many haunted attractions that make incredible differences in the world throughout the many years we've been doing this, and we're adding another to the pile today. Daryl might be a little new to the game, but he's making an enormous impact. Daryl Kirby is the president of Kirby Family Farm, which is an outreach center for at-risk youth and special needs children located in Lewiston, Florida, not far from Ocala and Gainesville. We talked earlier in the month to Daryl about the farm's Lost Railroad event and about running a nonprofit organization to benefit kids.
Hi, Philip. I'm Daryl Kirby. I'm the president here at Kirby Family Farm. We're a children's outreach center for at-risk youth and special needs children. We started our Lost Railroad event a few years ago. We did a not-so-scary version. We found that that wasn't as successful as what we thought it would be, and it wasn't quite as exciting as what a lot of our volunteers wanted it to be. So last year, we decided to go all scary, and it was quite surprisingly successful for us. It's becoming one of our biggest fundraisers for the farm. You know, we had some bad weather down here recently, so we decided to play it safe and postpone till next weekend. So we kick off October 14th. We'll be running October 14th, 15th, the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and then the last weekend, the 28th, 29th, and 30th, 8 nights. Tickets are $20, and that's all inclusive. The gates open at 7, and we close the gates at 10. You can get tickets at the gate, or if you want to get them in advance, you can get them on our website at Kirby Farm, KirbyFarm.com. We like to say Kirby Farm is in the middle of nowhere, close to everywhere. We're less than 2 hours from all the major cities, including Jacksonville, Orlando, Tampa, and we're a short 20-minute drive from three different I-75 interstate exits. So our location is Williston, Florida. That's basically a bedroom community of both Ocala and Gainesville, Florida.
Now, what do you have in store for us this year for 2016?
2016, you know, we're coming off an exciting first year. So we've continued with our Lost Railroad theme, you know, the story about the old carnival train that was lost during a terrible storm. We invite guests to come out and search for this old train. When and if you do find it, you'll experience a train ride on a fully restored 100-year-old historical train that meanders down the tracks. And hopefully you won't encounter a zombie attack, or hopefully you will. And hopefully there'll be some zombie hunters to save you, or maybe they won't. And we've got the abandoned woods. They say the woods are supposed to be abandoned, but there's rumors that it's actually where all the clowns ran off to after the train wreck. And they say the clowns are so demented they don't like each other, much less visitors. We have the Forgotten Freak Show, which has been taken over by the freaks. It's a haunted house, a full haunted house that you have to work your way through and encounter a different sideshow freaks and challenges along the way. And then we have our newly discovered area here is the Camp Kearney Trailer Park, which they found an old abandoned trailer park, and rumor has it that the Kearneys just kind of moved in and took it over.
I really enjoy the aesthetic of the train car, which we're sitting in right now. So how long should someone anticipate spending at your event here?
You're looking at four complete haunts at one location, plus we have the monster bus ride, plus we have the bad apple spinning ride, and all that is included. I would easily say it's pretty much the whole experience from 7 to 10. You could use up that time.
And what age range would you recommend for people attending?
As far as age range goes, we thought, man, you know, with the stuff that we saw out here, we need to really restrict it, PG-13. And then we realized after the first year that we had 8-year-olds coming out of here laughing their heads off, and we had grown adults coming out of here terrified, needing a change of clothes. So we don't recommend it for small children, but we don't, you know, set an actual age range. We leave it to the discretion of the parent.
Talk to us a little bit about the funds that you raise here and what they go to.
Kirby Family Farm is a 501c3. It's a not-for-profit organization. We work with at-risk children, special needs children. Last year, we hosted over 3,000 children at no cost. When we first started the vision of Kirby Family Farm, you know, started because we actually found a lost train. So there's a, you know, some neatness to the story of the Lost Railroad. You know, I found an abandoned train in the woods. My wife said if I wanted to have it, wherever I put it was going to be our children's organization. And my mom taught me how to share, so I was all down with that. Quickly, we learned that our resources, our financial resources, wasn't going to be able to support, you know, the type of mission that we had envisioned. So we started open to the public, you know, hey, maybe they want to come ride this old train. And as you see, we're sitting on it. It's a full-size railroad. It's not a little, you know, amusement park train. That being said, we started doing these, hosting these events. It's put on by the organization, all volunteer staffed. So minus the expenses to put on the event, of course, all the proceeds go directly to the organization. They stay within.
And how much did you raise last year?
Last year, I think we raised about $15,000. Our first year, we raised about $15,000.
Now that we've covered the basics of the Kirby Family Farm Halloween event, we're going to take a little break and hear from our sponsors, Z-Tag, and their live zombie infection game. And when we come back from the break, we're going to dive into Daryl's history and talk a little bit about the challenges that he has faced growing his event to accomplish his mission.
It was intense.
When the apocalypse comes.
When I was running, I completely dodged an entire crowd of nine.
Will you survive?
You gotta act quickly.
Z-Tag brings the undead to life.
If you take your time, it's gonna be too late.
In a real-world challenge.
Next thing you know, you turn around, there's zombies.
Of speed, agility, and survival.
This is an awesome birthday.
It's zombies against humans.
Buildings, it was mazes. They're jumping out of everywhere.
Wear your Z-Tag badge with its flashing LEDs and get into action.
It really felt like zombies were coming at you at the end when you see the red tags everywhere.
Hunt or be hunted, take your pick.
It was a game you had to find.
Red light for zombies and green light for humans.
When you're like walking in and all of a sudden zombies come by.
Your survival instincts will be put to the ultimate test.
I would play Z-Tag again.
Do you have what it takes? Hashtag play Z-Tag.
Welcome back from the break. We're here in Florida with Daryl at the Kirby Family Farm, and we're discussing the Halloween event. And Daryl and I are sitting in the 100-year-old train in the cabin. We discussed at the beginning of the break, before we took our break, who, what, when, where, why, and the basics of this year's event and the cause that Daryl contributes to. And now I want to know a little bit about the challenges, because this is quite a shift from what you guys normally do. As you mentioned, you open it up to the public. I can imagine there's a lot of logistical issues and a lot of changes, because you're going from the farm, then you're suddenly, you're becoming a tourist attraction and a pretty popular tourist attraction, because raising that amount of money, you know, you get a good amount of people and a good amount of volunteers. So talk to us a little bit about the challenges that you faced with this expansion.
It's exciting to say the least. Not only is it quite a challenge just to prepare for the Lost Railroad, but we have to intertwine that between our, you know, we do some larger events, you know, that we do for our outreach programs that, you know, we'll bring in several hundred, you know, folks at a time. But then we also have our other fundraising events like our Wild West Weekend, our Christmas train, and things of that nature. And the fall, we're going from a Wild West Weekend in September, turning the farm completely over to get ready for the Lost Railroad, which, as you've seen, is quite an intense amount of building. And then right after this is over, we've got a mile and a half of Christmas lights to have up and ready to go by Thanksgiving weekend. So yeah. It is pretty much when the new year comes, I'm in a coma. I'm just out of it, you know, mentally, you know, I'm just totally exhausted. It's worth it, you know, and each event's worth it. But I think what's really been exciting to me with the Lost Railroad is how it just seems, I didn't know if it would fit. We target young children so much in things, and I thought, well, is it going to be a good fit for what we do out here and all? But it's been so well received, and it's growing.
Talk to us about, how did you know? Like, what was the moment where it felt like you started going down the hill? Like, what was the moment of traction that you were like, this is going to work?
I can answer that quick. It was the second night last year, because as I mentioned, last year we went scary. I was at the front gate and we were sharp enough to say, hey, you know, ask folks as they leave, you know, have comment cards and things. And I had gone up there to assist a need. And I was at the gate and got to casually overhear people as they were leaving. And it was just so overwhelmingly positive. You know, they were just laughing, talking, you know, oh, I got to come back again, my friends, you know, and so I knew that we had something at that moment.
But it was still difficult. Like, you are using so many natural structures. I assume that would be kind of difficult to turn them into attractions. Like, you have this 100-year-old train, which is awesome, but it's also a 100-year-old train. Like, isn't that like a balancing act.
We're the only scary train ride offered in Florida. Yeah. So we had to leave the state, and luckily we had a relationship with a large park that does one. And my biggest fear was, are we gonna freak people out so much that they jump off the train?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're in the woods, we're 20 feet in the air going across a land bridge. That's not the place to bail off the train.
Yeah.
You know, so what do we, you know, and so that was a big concern of mine. Just simple things of being able to reach out to some other folks. You know, you scare them from both sides, not one side. That way, you know, this train, they're all casual and they're all brave and full of confidence when they leave the station here. But if you stand here, when they come back in, the majority of them are all on top of each other in the middle. Well, that's, you know, as simple as you haunt from you scare from both sides.
Yeah.
So they're not getting too far to the left or right.
So there wasn't too much you had to worry with a fire marshal or people coming in being like, no, you can't do that. It's
No. We're a small community and we're very involved in our community and we keep a very open book. I mean, we like things to look very sketchy out here, but we don't want them to be sketchy. Like we've had, you know, a visit from our local fire chief, three or four times just in the building process. As we continue, he updates, hey, you know, maybe you want to throw in a couple extra fire extinguishers there. You know, hey, you know, what do you think about that there? You know, so we've got a real good, friendly line of communication with him. And I do what they say. You know, that's, I think, the biggest thing. I think we could have challenges, but I look at somebody, they're the expert. If they tell me I need more fire extinguishers, even if I think it's overkill, I'm going to get as many as they tell me to and maybe pick up two more.
And you're all staffed by volunteers.
Yes.
So how many actors do you have running on a typical night?
If we hit our goal, 100. You know, sometimes if it's a Friday night and it's homecoming game, you lose some of your younger volunteers. But typically to have everything just the way we want it, 100 is the magic number.
How do you work with the actors to make sure everybody comes back and make sure staffing works? Because it could happen where you just don't have enough people to run it.
Each haunt, you know, every haunt, because it is an individual experience, we have individual directors, and each one, you know, they key in and they say, I need minimum this number, I can have up to this many. And then once we meet those high expectations, which on some nights we do, all the overflow, we just have more and more zombies, you know, for the train ride experience.
Do you have people here that work on the farm that are directors, or do you like hire creative directors to theme your areas?
No, we've actually, again, I tell you, you know, they say God looks after the fools the most. That's why he's with me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I just have been blessed, man. I mean, we have, can't tell you, 20, 30 years experience apiece, you know, our team in the abandoned woods. Then we have, you know, Chris comes to us with a lot of haunt experience that did Camp Kearney. And then we have Tim, who's got 19 years experience, you know, and they're all key volunteers as well. You know, I mean, they set up that we've got another little camp out here that we didn't look, because that's just where they all bring in their campers and just stay all weekend. You know, it's that much fun. And, you know, I don't know which is more fun, coming as a guest or being a volunteer. The name of the place, as you know, is Kirby Family Farm. It's not a farm that was in a family for decades. The reason we put the name family in between Kirby and farm is our goal was people would feel like family whenever they came out to whatever the event was. And I feel like we've really achieved that, you know, with our volunteers. We don't call them volunteers, actually. We call them family members.
Give me two moments you have seen here that you will never forget.
Well, the first field trip of special needs field trip we had out here, my wife was still teaching her last year in the classroom. So she was unable to be out here with me. And it was a group of young people with autism, different levels on the spectrum, some nonverbal, some verbal. And I had to basically host this field trip by myself. It was early on, we didn't have many volunteers. We just fell into a fluke position where I was on my own. I mean, I had their teachers and caregivers with them. I gave them the train ride. I gave them the story about the train ride and things. And I was feeling more and more confident that it was going well. And so at the end, they invited me on their bus, and it was one of those like shuttle buses where all the seats are in like a round. It's not like rows, you know, so you can walk in the middle and they're kind of circled around you. And I thanked them for coming and everything. We gave them a little surprise. We always give the kids train whistles as they're leaving so they can drive their teachers nuts on the way home. As I was getting ready to step away, one of the nonverbal children reached out for me with their hand. I thought, oh, wow, I'm getting ready to get some body contact. This is a big deal for, you know, these children. So I went to shake their hand. He grabbed my hand and pulled me down, and they dogpiled me. And even the teachers were just amazed. They're like, this does not happen with a total stranger. They were just completely, so that just really, you know, that let me know, hey, I may not be an expert in every field. And people will ask that, you know, how do you know how to work with this type of child or this type of need? Well, we don't necessarily, but there's specialists and experts who do. And if you get with them and plan their visit, it'll all work out, you know, and they can have a great memory. So that was one, you know, when I got dogpiled, you know, on that field trip that I had to handle by myself in complete and total fear. And then the other one was, you know, they think that, you know, you're the guy doing the interviews and everything. Oh, Mr. Kirby, he's the one who found the train in the woods. And that's all exciting. But you're also the guy, when you're completely volunteer-based. Yeah. We had a little girl out here on one of our Christmas train nights. You know, we've been the number one Christmas train in Florida for 2 years. And she dropped her cell phone in one of the extremely overused and abused porta potties.
Oh, no.
And my philosophy is, don't ask anyone to do something that you wouldn't be willing to do yourself. So I'll never forget that moment when I had to fish out a little girl's cell phone out of a porta potty. But it still worked. I was pushing around with a grabber and hit a button and it lit up. We won't go into too much detail, but
yeah.
So there's a good memory and then a not so good memory.
Is there a story that you can share as to how you have directly impacted one of these kids' lives?
I wouldn't know where to begin. I honestly, just the little things, the big things that come along. One of our outreach programs is called Friends of a Hero, where the child is the hero and the farm is the friend. You know, and how are they designated a hero? Any child who's going through a challenge that no child should have to. So we have an after-school program where they come twice a week. Well, this was one of those afternoons, and there was a young man, 7 years old, little guy, that it was his second time in the program, and he started asking my wife a lot of questions. Well, what's Mr. Kirby do? You know, well, what's he doing? Well, I see him in his office. What's he doing? So she comes to me. She's like, hey, little so-and-so, he wants to help you work. Now, you know, kids, they don't help you work. You know, they slow you down. I'm like, honey, I really got to get this done. I'm more the business side. She's more the outreach side of keeping things going. Well, she gave me the wife eyes, and I said, okay, bring him in. I sat there quiet as a mouse, and so I started saying, hey, you know, I was getting to know him and things. And so he came back again, wanted to help Mr. Kirby again. So I said, hey, next time, you know, I think we need to go check something. You know, let's get on the golf cart. We just drove around, had a good time. So next time he came, you know, a few visits after that, I said he wanted to help. So he ended up just being my little assistant, you know, wasn't, you know, participating with the other children, but it's what he needed. You know, then it got to the point where I'm like, you know, I think we need to make sure the train's running okay. Let's go, you know. And so next thing you know, he's driving an engine by himself, and the other kids are like, hey, why is he so special? Well, you know, what I didn't know that first day, and I learned, you know, that evening and kept that in mind throughout his time with us in that program, was he came home from school one day. You know, 80% of America's youth are in a broken home. Over 20% less than 20% are in an intact home. This young man was one of those in an intact home. He was one of the few that had mom, dad, and everything, what seemed to be going good. The secret statistic that you don't get much talk about is that intact home that still has junk going on in the home. Just because it's biological mom and dad, white picket fence, doesn't mean everything's still right, you know? And this was a case for him because he came home one day at 7 years old and discovered his dad had committed suicide with zip ties 2 months before he was introduced to this program. And you know, I didn't know at the time how much he needed a man in his life, you know, that he could count on. And you know, it's funny because just recently he made a bad decision. It's not going to kill him. He's 13 now. He made a bad decision, and he, through his aunt that he lives with now, recently reached out to us, and he wanted to come back out because he got in a little mischief and has a little community hours to serve, and nothing that won't, you know, he'll be fine. You know, he's still young. But he knew, he said that he wanted to come out and help Mr. Kirby. So he's come back into my life, and whew, that's what makes it all worth it.
We're coming towards the end of the interview here, but before we sign off, tell me the one aspect of the Halloween event that just the mere thought of it makes you giddy, like it's your coffee.
I gotta say, probably, it's so convincing. It's such a raw haunt. You know, it's so raw. I don't know, when I go through it, I could actually, you know, my mind, you know, I look at it, I'm like, man, this could really happen if you're at the wrong place at the wrong time. You could stumble across something like this. So I think that helps, helps bring the haunt, you know, to life, you know, to what we're trying to accomplish.
Is there anything you'd like to say before we sign off?
Probably the biggest thing I'd like to say in closing is, you know, again, this whole thing is a volunteer-driven event. Kids that are coming in for high school graduation hours, I'm grateful for them. But even the directors, even, you know, the professionals, we have some of our volunteers traveling 2 hours to be a part of this and have done so throughout the year. I mean, some of these scenes and things have been being built for a year. And so, you know, we've got some great folks behind us and we're very grateful for that. And they're doing it because they believe in what we're doing. You know, they've been able to experience, you know, some of those experiences that we've shared with the children that come through here. And, you know, we look forward to a great future and we hope that everybody wants to come out and experience the Lost Railroad. We open next Friday, October 14th, and we've got dates on the website and tickets available on there at kirbyfarm.com.
I'm Philip Hernandez, and this show is produced by the Haunted Attraction Network. Today's episode was edited and mixed by Mike Migas. Chris Thomas wrote and performed our theme song and our special introduction music. Additional music and vocals from Music Radio Creative. Today's sponsor was Gantam Live and ZTAG. Learn more at www.ztag.com or by finding them on social at PlayZTAG. If you enjoyed today's episode, please, please consider subscribing and leaving us a review in iTunes or your favorite podcaster app. Those reviews help us tremendously. If you leave a review, hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, and we can thank you personally. Thanks for listening, and until next time, stay scary.